You're listening to I Can't Wait to Tell You with Casey Edward featuring Jason Lang, episode 134.
Welcome to I Can't Wait to Tell You, a podcast I created to share with you my knowledge, stories, and ideas on everything from manifestation and meditation to money, sex and relationships, self-love and body image, and life in general. I want you to know that you are not your thoughts, that you can choose your thoughts, and thus you, and only you, create your reality. It's time for you to take control of your life and let joy and abundance be your natural state of being. We all deserve to make some magic, so let's jump right in because there are so many things I can't wait to tell you. We got soul, style, and soul. Let's just let the good times roll. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of I Can't Wait to Tell You. I am your host, Casey Edward. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Today, I'm very excited to bring to you an interview episode with Jason Lang. So a little bit of background as to how I found Jason. I actually found Jason through Dawn Wild, who has been on the show a few times. She was doing a week of Instagram lives, and I saw Jason's, and I was like, oh my God, I have to have him on the show, because I had never really consciously given time to think about men in their embodiment and in their journey and what they must go through emotionally, or if they're not assimilating their emotions, then what they're going through by bottling them up. And so right away I knew. And then funny enough, if you've been listening to the show for a while, Jason is, you probably recognize the last name, husband to Violet Lang. And Violet is a coach for women on love and femininity, and she has been on the show multiple times. So it's so fun to have Jason on as well. And a little bit about Jason. He is a men's embodiment coach, a group facilitator, and an evolutionary guide. He helps men drop in and wake up to a deeper clarity in their life's purpose and relationships. He believes every man should be in a men's group for the growth and support opportunities they provide. His flagship online program, Pillars of Presence, is a 10-week bootcamp for men ready to transform their dating lives from the inside out, and he co-leads that with Melanie Curtin. Outside of men's work, Jason is also a filmmaker and, as I mentioned, Violet's husband, and also they have the most adorable little girl, Ruby. So he's also a father outside of leading these men's group. And this is such an interesting episode because, as you know, I have a predominantly female-based listening audience, but it's so nice to hear a man's perspective and also what men go through in their journey, right? You know, we talk a lot about on the show what it's like as a man starts to embody his power and also all of the different facets of being a man in today's society and why it's so important to be in a men's group and why it's so important to talk to other men and why it's so important to let your masculine out. And one of the things that he said in the show that I really love is that the healthy masculine of all of us is very relaxed and alert. So that's something that we get into too. And we just talk about how when you're in your divine masculine, when you're in the masculine in a good way, you have enough energy to do things. You're not feeling burdened down by all of the things that you have to do. And it's all about just welcoming men into feeling what they need to feel, right? So before I give away everything, let's get right to it. Here's my episode with Jason. Hey, Jason, how are you today? Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'm so excited to be here, Casey. I'm doing great.
Yes, good. So a little bit about you. You are a men's embodiment coach, a group facilitator, an evolutionary guide. And it's so refreshing to hear about a men's coach because even though I myself am a life coach, I genuinely can't remember ever hearing of a men's coach before, especially someone who talks about male emotions and feelings and stereotypes, etc. And something that you posted once that I loved was your power lies on the other side of everything you're afraid to feel. I think a good jumping off point for our conversation would be to ask, where did the stigma, in quotes, come from surrounding men showing their emotions, and how can men transition out of that way of thinking? And if they do, how will it positively affect them?
Yeah, totally. I think it's pretty old, that stigma in general. I think a lot of traditional, kind of Western masculine culture was based on being the toughest, the strongest, the least vulnerable, the least weak. And for a long time, that's just kind of been woven into a lot of men's culture, military culture, sports culture. It's all performance based, right? So who can get the biggest outcome? And thankfully, that has started to change just very slowly. Most men's culture is not that, in that, almost all men I work with at some point growing up, whether it's in a high school locker room or on a sports team or in a crowd of friends, if you're emotional, you generally get shamed for it, right? And called some pretty derogatory terms, and it's considered kind of weak. So guys learn to kind of batten down the hatches, keep it all inside, and just have that tough exterior and kind of push forward. And some of that may be sourced in just in terms of some of the differences between kind of masculine and feminine. One of the great gifts of the masculine part of all of us, whether we're a man or woman or anywhere in between, we all have masculine and feminine energy. Is masculine energy is the part of us that can actually remove ourselves a little bit from the moment, right? To kind of take a bigger perspective, which traditionally has shown up in men's bodies as being able to move through physical discomfort, emotional discomfort to, get something done, to execute or to go to war, these things that actually involve oftentimes shutting down pieces of our heart. So that's kind of woven into the masculine experience to some extent, but then it kind of got taken way too far in a lot of culture. And most men that I know, that come into working with me have just don't have that toolkit, and it's not been very valued in our culture, right? Men having access to their hearts and their feelings and their emotions. And so because of that, because we don't, it often ends up coming out sideways, right? A, we don't know how to be with it, so it creates anxiety or discomfort or physical problems in our body. And a lot of men will turn to different types of substances, right, to manage and regulate that, whether it's porn, alcohol, booze, weed, all the different things, TV, internet, to try to regulate, to try to cause ourselves to kind of calm down a little bit. Or it'll just kind of come out sideways, right? And I'll be, you might be driving down the street and someone gets cut off and they just explode in rage, right? We've all kind of seen situations where men maybe react and it's not quite correlate to what happened. Usually that's because there's unprocessed stuff on there. So that's actually triggering this whole history of unfelt emotions. So in the work I do for men, and what I believe in is, there used to be these deep rites of passage for the masculine in a lot of indigenous and traditional cultures where, you would mark your transition from boy to man by doing some kind of deep practice in the guidance of other men, facing death practice, we would kind of call it, some kind of extreme physical or emotional or spiritual challenge that would cause you to face the scariest parts of yourselves and have to learn how to regulate and breathe and stay present through that. And, we don't do that so much anymore these days. Not a lot of guys are doing literal facing death practices, but for a lot of us, what I've found and what my teachers have kind of transmitted to me is it's more of an interior thing now. So the facing death is, yeah, actually feeling the feelings we've always been afraid to feel, which often are just simple things, self-worth, fear, grief, sadness, anger, rage against family or caregivers, things that often get sourced very early in life and then kind of just get stuck in our bodies that a lot of men don't have the tools to be with. And then they wonder why they're depressed or they have no energy or why it's so hard, everything's so hard. And by learning the tools and techniques to go into our feelings, to express ourselves, A, we become healthier, just easier to be. B, I think we become more trustable, right? To feminine partners, to masculine partners, they can just feel us more, and there's more of a alignment in our ways of being. And C, we just learn about who we really are, right? Because then, I always like to say, who's more afraid? The guy afraid of feeling his feelings, or the guy who's just going to go into them, right? And it becomes so clear. Like some men are just totally afraid of feeling, Because, oh my God, I can't cry in front of another man. And when men first have that experience and then it's like, okay, and it's welcomed, I often see their whole nervous systems totally change.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it must be suffocating is the word that comes to mind, to consistently be on edge of don't show an emotion or don't show what you're feeling and keep it all inside, because there's only so long you can do that before, like you said, it could be in traffic or it could be on a loved one, that is just gonna blow over and explode. And something that this made me think of is when we think about men, or you know, the old paradigm of men, I was thinking about what I associated with men. And then I came across that a question you get asked a lot is, what makes a real man? So where are most men getting their ideas of what makes a real man? And what do you think is actually a real man?
Totally. It's such a great question. And this is one where I do think just mainstream media has a lot to do with it. You know, we're fed, whether masculine or feminine, commercials all day long about, you know, what a tough man is, what a strong man is, what a beautiful woman is. That definitely roots in early. And then, you know, films and television, and just a lot of the archetypes we have in America of, like, you know, the rugged cowboy or the kind of tough soldier, who, again, they tend to kind of just batten down the hatches. They're not people known for their feeling, right? They're tough on the outside. So I think a lot of that just comes from media, and then also from generations. You know, we get modeling from our families of origin. And most guys I know, you know, I think it's just starting to change in the last generation or two, but most boomers and whatnot, it was kind of more that traditional masculinity of, my job is to make money and take care of the kids and not have too many feelings. And, you know, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And if I'm making a lot of money and I have a lot of power and I'm like tough and I don't show any vulnerability, then I'm a man. You know, I would say that's a lot of the kind of mainstreamy definition of what we tend to think makes a real man. And, you know, what I believe is kind of tied into what we were just talking to, that, you know, what a real man is these days is a guy who is, there's nowhere he's afraid to go, which includes his interior landscapes, his emotional body, the emotions of his partners as well, in that he's willing to kind of feel it all and be present with everything. Like, that's the thing I really work on my men with. It's not about your pocketbook, your abs, all those, your power status in terms of your job title. It's really about, you know, how present in the moment can you be? Like, how grounded and actually here can you be? Because that's one of the great gifts the masculine can offer these days. And whether we're in a man's, woman, or a woman's body, and that cultivating that is the thing that's the most important for men these days. So learning just how to be present with everything, which includes, again, my feelings. So I like to say real men feel everything, right? That's the new definition I like to really roll with. And the more we can practice that with ourselves, because this is where I find it tends to actually quite impact relationships, right? The more we can also be with the feelings of others. So if there's parts of ourselves we're not comfortable with, or we're in resistance to, my grief or my anger or whatever that might be, when that's present in people around me, right, I'll often, ooh, if I haven't really processed that, I don't want to feel that. So I try to fix them or change the conversation or get out of that situation. But as I become more comfortable with those places in myself, it's much easier to be with that in other people. So that's one of the things I really work with men on is, you know, the deeper you can go into your own emotional body, the easier it is going to be for you to hang with partners, with friends, with family, and with loved ones.
Yeah, that's actually, I was just thinking about that, because you can feel when someone is in that state where the word be, you know, being in defense, it's kind of like they're always on defense because there's all of this stuff that hasn't been assimilated. So one little thing will kind of trigger them. And even if they're not being reactive, you can kind of feel that in someone. And like you were saying, if that's what's happening in a relationship, it's just going to keep coming up until you face it, or all the people around you are going to be like, whoa, what is the feeling? You know, even if someone's not into energy or
totally,
money, they're going to be like, I'm not sure how I feel about it. It could be a good person, but they're giving off this weird vibe or this weird energy. And it goes for anyone, where if you can just stay open, heart open, like you were saying, that changes everything, because when you can allow it all to come up, that fear goes away. So you're out of reaction,
totally.
You're out of defense. How does that change how you see the world and communicate with people? You're probably able to show up completely differently.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think it gives men a lot more bandwidth, right? Just more energy. You know, one of the chronic problems for almost all men I work with is exhaustion, burden, feeling tired, not having enough energy to get everything done we want to do in the world. And one of the biggest sucks of energy is unprocessed stuff, right? Like, exactly. If we're walking around semi-defended and protecting ourselves in every moment, that uses a lot of bandwidth to constantly be managing. What am I showing? What am I feeling? What do people know? And the more we can kind of turn into that, that more that energy is liberated, and the more relaxed I see men become, right? Like the kind of the physical manifestation of that, that real men feel everything, is that since I'm not fearing that, I can just kind of be here in my body. And it's much more relaxed versus, like, a lot of us men just carry so much tension. So much tension around our hearts and our breathing and our shoulders and our backs. And you can totally see it, right? You can feel it when you're with someone and they're carrying that level of tension. And the longer it goes, you know, the more I'd say it shows up in the body, where people's bodies tend to take the shape of the stress or the anxiety or the unfelt emotions they have in them. And that as we continue to just get more comfortable with that, there's just so much more spaciousness. There's a lot more ease, a lot more energy, a lot more relaxedness, and a lot more ability to just kind of take things in stride with humor. You know, in my mind, the healthy masculine of all of us is just very relaxed and alert, right? It's just that simple combo. I'm relaxed and I'm here and I'm alert. There's not like a, it's just more like, taking deep breaths. And I'm here.
Yeah. And I mean, at the most foundational level of all of it, that will make life so much more enjoyable. You're going to experience the world and people and your interactions and life in just such a different way, because when you're not in reactive mode or suppressing mode, then you can just be free to feel everything and come back to, like you were saying, the present and feeling good. And something that this transitions into is sexuality for men, because of course when we think of a man, there are all of these labels around men and in sexuality as well. So if we're talking about men's sexuality, I can imagine it must be difficult for men to balance out how to be powerful and sexual and open while not crossing any boundaries or not being placed in the friend zone. So how can men channel their sexuality in a healthy and productive way so that they can find a relationship or love?
Yeah, it's one of the leading edges, I think, of the men's work movement, and I certainly work with men on, is, you know, how do we have both? How do we have a man who has access to an open heart and is still connected to his balls, to his power, and isn't just, you know, the kind of more nice guy pushover that a lot of guys end up kind of getting stuck in? Because for many of us in my generation and younger in particular, you know, we've grown up seeing the consequences of what I would kind of call the caveman model, right? That I'm just going to go for what I want, take what I want. You know, there's a lot of power there in some sense, but it's very self-centered.
Yeah.
Tends to cause a lot of destruction. That power we've seen abused in all kinds of ways through, you know, highlighted through the Me Too movement. And just every year we see more and more examples of what happens when the masculine is disconnected from its heart and the damage that can cause. So a lot of men grow up seeing that and they're like, oh no, I don't want to be that, right? I don't want to be that guy. So I'm going to kind of pull that energy in and mostly lead from my heart. And then they end up kind of having nice friendships, maybe not particularly deep friendships. Have a lot of women that like say, hey, you're a great guy, but you know, you're not really the guy for me, or I just don't feel it. So it can be very confusing for guys because they, you know, they want that deep connection, but they don't want to be just the macho jerk, as we'd call it. And so learning to bring both online that, hey, it's actually okay to be totally in love with your male sexuality, right? That power, that desire, the energy behind that, as long as it's connected to your heart, As long as you're breathing in the moment, as long as you're open and relaxed and aware of it, you know, I think that's one of the things we work with a lot of our guys around, is just learning to come into right relationship with their own sexuality and not be ashamed of it. Right. So for a lot of guys, there is a little bit of shame of like, oh my God, I don't want to be that. And it's not safe. And then they're holding that energy when they're relating with any kind of woman. And that's often what kind of feels like creepy, or I'm trying to pretend like I'm not attracted to a person, but then it kind of comes out sideways, 'cause I am, right. And that there's like, incongruity there that women in particular, I think, can really kind of hone in on, versus just, you know, breathing, noticing the attraction and being clear about it, you know, not being afraid to share it and lead in that way, like bring that into relationship. But always, you know, what I like to say, strong masculine sexuality is it's just an invitation. Like, we're just inviting, like, hey, here's what I would love. How does you feel about that? Like, does you resonate? Do you not resonate? And that includes bringing kind of sexuality online, which is so much easier when we can be in our bodies, yeah, to actually notice and be connected to that and breathing with that, which again goes right back into everything we said. And the more we've done kind of our inner work and our emotional work, the easier that is to become. But I think for a lot of men that I work with, it's it takes a little while to kind of reprogram. But when they start to discover, like, wow, actually, no, women do want that part of us. Like, they want to know we desire them. They want to feel our like sexual hunger. They just want to feel it connected to our hearts. So it's not just that, right? That, oh my God, I can feel her as a whole person who has things she wants and she desires, and I have things I want and desire. And so we kind of lead from that more integrated place of owning our desire, not being ashamed of it, and not being attached to it, right? I think that's the big thing a lot of men have to kind of work through, is it's okay to put out there. You just have to let go of any expectation, because you're not always going to be met in it. And that's totally fine. It's totally fine. So most guys I work with in particular tend to kind of be from more the nice guy side of the spectrum. So their work is leaning more into that, right? Connecting more to their lower chakras and their breath and their sexual desire and energy, and learning that that's safe in the right container with the right partners, and that there's all kinds of communication strategies that can support guys in that. But it really just comes down to being present in your body, noticing it, not being afraid of it, and celebrating it, actually, that, you know, it can be a beautiful thing. It's just when it's disconnected from the heart, that's when it's destructive. And for a lot of guys, they've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater and forgotten that, no, like, we want partners who desire us, masculine or feminine, right? We want to know our partner's into us and is like moving towards us and has that sexual interest, which is a powerful, powerful thing for guys to kind of move into and to learn to embrace that energy as well. And, you know, for a lot of men I work with too, and a journey I had to go on in myself, is also kind of reconnecting the sacred part of that, in terms of, you know, for a lot of men, sexuality is pretty challenging growing up, because there's, you know, particularly these days, guys get put on porn really, really early age. Masturbation often isn't talked about. And so sexuality becomes this quick, silent, you know, private thing I do really quick. And that gets deeply woven into a lot of men's nervous systems. And so learning to kind of unwind that and distinguish how a lot of men use porn and masturbation for regulation and not even for actual sexual pleasure, and learning, oh, what are other ways I can regulate myself that are a little bit more nourishing?
Yeah.
And then how can I bring healthier sexual energy into my relationships? Is a big edge for a lot of men, but it's really encouraging to see it's definitely connecting and changing.
Yeah. I've never thought about the porn and the masturbation thing starting at a young age. And, you know, if you're young, your parents are around, so you're doing it fast and you feel this
totally
around it, of course. And
yeah.
So when that becomes the way of doing it and it seeps in, I've never thought about that, but that makes so much sense. So instead of using that as an adult to regulate, what are some healthy ways that men can regulate that will nourish them?
Yeah, this is the great work we get to take on responsibly as adults and men. starting any kind of, you know, the usual hits, mindfulness practices, physical workout and exercise, men's groups, which I'm a huge part of. It's, you know, finding safe spaces we can go in for oftentimes when we're needing to regulate, you know, I would say particularly for men, what we're really needing is some kind of connection. We're needing to feel connected and we don't have that. So we have to find something else. So men's groups and deep masculine relationships can fill a lot of that bucket, really help us get connected, really help us feel safe and seen, are some of the biggest tools in addition to just, yeah, getting a handle on like healthy eating, healthy sleeping. Like it's one of those things where it's not one magic bullet. It's like, we really want to do all the things to take care of ourselves from head to toe, so to speak, and to heart and soul. So that deep emotional work is one of the first things I recommend for a lot of men, is to kind of get in there and, you know, see what am I carrying in my nervous system that usually goes back to when I was a kid, and honestly can go back generations too, in terms of patterns that our families picked up and how we communicate and what we don't communicate and what we hold on to. And it can take quite a while to unwind some of that through coaching, through therapy, through men's groups, through all the different strategies that I kind of think it takes all of them, right? It takes dabbling in all these things over time to really kind of round ourselves out as men, and to learn to take care of ourselves and regulate ourselves in a way that we often couldn't as we were young. You know, a lot of guys I work with, we end up doing some inner child work as well, right? Which is a big piece of that, of noticing like, yeah, when I lose presence or get stressed or I'm turning to porn or feel overwhelmed, like actually how old do I feel in my body? Mm. And there's almost always a very clear signal of a couple specific ages where things were really tough or we felt really lost and we didn't have an ability to get regulated by someone. And then it becomes, but now as an adult, it's my responsibility to care for that piece of myself, right? And to show that young boy inside of me that love, that resonance that he didn't get then. And oftentimes that'll quickly relax things, as guys come to know that, you know. Something that's been coming up a lot in a lot of the work I do with men lately has been just the crazy way we'll talk to ourselves in ways we would never talk to another human being, right? Like the types of things, the internal voices, the inner critic will shame ourselves with or beat ourselves up with, that if we said it out loud to another man, we'd be like, I would never talk to you like that.
Yeah.
So same thing, or another child would be like, if I saw someone talking to a child like that, I would get over there and be like, no, that's not okay. And it kind of takes getting online a little bit of our own adult warrior to like go in there and be like, no, I'm not going to talk to myself like that. Right now, what I need is a hug or love, or to be really gentle with that young part of myself that's feeling very tender.
Yeah. And that actually reminds me, I was talking to a friend once and he was sharing some goals and intentions and affirmations, and so much of it was negative reinforcement based. And so it's exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't, I've got this, I am worthy, I'm going to make a change in these profound ways. It was like, don't be a pussy, show up. It was all of this negative reinforcement. And I had this moment of, oh my God, like that can't be what's going to get you to the mindset and to the feelings you want. So having an outlet like a men's group to start to transition in that must be so helpful in that way. And I remember an interview you did where you were talking about, it's nice to be with men too, because if there's rage coming up, you're masculine beings, you have all of this overflow of masculinity, it's okay. Like bring it up. Maybe we'll hit some stuff. Maybe we'll do this. So
totally.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how it can be beneficial to be in a men's group or get coaching?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's part of my mission statement that every man should be in a men's group. I think it is one of the most simple things we could do to completely rewire our culture head to toe, because I'm not going to shit all over men. That's not what I'm about. There's been a lot of damage. And almost every time we see that damage, it's disconnected men. It's men who are disconnected from their heart and often disconnected from their communities. And so the more we can get the masculine men connected, I think a lot of these problems will handle themselves. So getting men into a men's group is such a simple, powerful thing that what I love about it is A, it's a really safe space to practice being vulnerable, to practice getting into our feelings in, you know, it, moments can be intense in men's group, but it's low risk in the sense, you know, it's not out in the world where you don't know what's going to happen. Usually there's agreements, there's bonds, there's trust. So I can practice, you know, showing a little rage or setting a boundary or doing these different things and then getting feedback from men in my group about how that feels or where they feel me the most. Even, you know, one of the things that's been missing for a lot of men that's coming back because of men's culture in general is there's a part of it that is a transmission. So, you know, again, like in those rites of passages in a lot of indigenous cultures, boys spent time around men. So they got to see, how does a man walk? How does he breathe? How does he handle conflict? How does he handle grief? Right. And they see it, and then they see it and they're like, oh, I can do that. And what the experience a lot of guys have coming into men's groups I lead is, I didn't even know this was possible. I didn't know you could talk to another man eye to eye and talk about your feelings and cry or healthily express rage. And as they see it start to happen in other men, it like turns something on in our nervous systems. And it's like, oh, I can do this too. Now I have an example of what that might be. So just that alone is such a big game changer for men. And then there's just something about, I would say, masculine love that can be really healing for men, because, you know, we just get, right? Like you said, we just kind of get what it means to walk around with this kind of masculine identity and the problems. And so people, you know, you can say this, I'm really struggling with this. And then eight people are like, yeah, I get that. I've had that experience. And there's just like, I'm not broken. Mm-hmm. Other people, it's normal. Like totally relaxes men as I see that. It also becomes a really powerful tool for relationships. Because a trap I've seen a lot of men I work with around relationships get into is because they've come from masculine culture that is not connected, that is not emotional, that they don't have a place to share that. For a lot of men, the only place they feel safe and comfortable emotionally connecting or expressing is with their intimate partner. And then if that's the only person you have to do that work with, it puts a lot of pressure on a relationship for someone to be my best friend, kind of my therapist, my sexual partner. And it puts a lot of energy on that one relationship. Because if there's friction, you know, I don't want to get her too mad because then, is it going to break up? So it just creates so much energy around that. Whereas a men's group creates some space to go get some feedback or to process. I've had many men come to my men's groups, you know, feeling tension with a wife or a partner that, you know, they're ready to go have a big argument with, and we process it in men's group. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes by the end, there's like a realization like, oh shit, that's kind of my fault, isn't it? Like I was going to go attack her for that, but there's actually a lot I have to own here that's contributing to that relationship. So instead of going home and having an argument, they go home feeling more connected and open and present with their partners. And it just creates physical space as well, you know, for more and more couples that live together, work together, literally just having a men's group where the man can go be somewhere else does so much for the relationship. I, you know, my wife loves it when I come back from men's group or a men's retreat, because I'm totally in my body. I'm relaxed. I'm nourished. I'm way more present with her. So it impacts, you know, my family too. They see how good it is for me to get that. So yeah, it's one of those things that there's just so many benefits, the structure, the practice, the safety, getting feedback from other men, learning to even identify our feelings where we can really just slow down and people can kind of be with us. It's like, hey, you're saying you're okay and you're smiling, but it really doesn't feel like it, you know, when I'm with you. I actually feel a lot of tension and grief in my chest. And then boom, you know, a man will just burst into tears like, fuck, that's there. And I didn't even know. And we start to be able to slow down and identify those parts inside of us. So I think it's one of those things, whether it's a drop-in group or a permanent group, like every man can get something out of it. The days of the kind of tough lone wolf man, they're just over. Men who are in men's groups, men who are connected, they live longer, they make more money, they have better sex. Like it's just awesome. It's awesome. And it teaches men that they can relate to each other don't have to just relate through things. Most mainstream masculine culture is based on relating via triangulation, as I call it, right? Me and you, we're watching a sports game, we're talking about politics. There's always a third thing, and rarely are we face to face. Hey, what's going on for you? What's up in your life?
Yeah.
And the shift where men learn to see each other not as competition, but as allies is just such a game changer. I've seen over and over and over again.
I just got a feeling of how powerful that is and how deeply the world needs that, how deeply so many men need that, especially, like you said, there's always a buffer between them and their person. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm 30 and my boyfriend's 33. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that there's no longer the bars or the sports game as often because people start having kids and they start getting married.
Yeah.
Isolation becomes even more because at least you were regulating in some way, being around others, burning it off, having some fun. But now it's kind of like, oh man, you know, I'm a family man. And now the pressure might become even more. And
totally.
Go to it. So I can see how having a space to just go to and be like, damn, man, this is how I feel, you know?
Yeah. Life's hard. I'm having a hard time in life.
Yeah.
Anyone else? And it's like, yeah, we're having a hard time too. Like it's hard. It's just that alone is just like, see men like exhale. It's like, oh, I don't have to pretend like I have all my shit together all the time. I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm allowed to learn. And just having people that have been through, you know, similar or different experiences. You know, I'm in tons of men's groups myself. And some of the most powerful ones I'm in right now, you know, are men who are on the other side of fatherhood, who are, you know, having people in my life who have kids that are 18 to, you know, older. And I just, you know, we have an 18 or 17 month year old. And so it's just so useful for me to have men to talk to and who can normalize, you know, oh, I was scared shitless or I didn't know what to do and it was totally fine. And here's our strategies for this. Those kinds of things are just so grounding and like, oh, okay, great. And I know who to call, right? One of the most powerful things I would say men's group has brought me in my life is I have dozens of men I could call in an instant in any kind of crisis or overwhelm that I know would show up for me 100%. And just even if they're not there in a day-to-day, feeling that in my life is so relaxing. It's so relaxing. It's not, and relaxing to my partner too, because she knows, you know, we've had our days moving or something and it's like 9 o'clock and I'm like, oh my God, it's too late. Like we're late and boom, call the men's group. And suddenly four men show up, you know, just boom, help us move everything out of our boxes and stuff. And like having that support in life is so useful and so powerful, so much more relaxing for us men that, yeah, I think particularly as guys get into relationship and they get older, that's where, you know, it really starts to show up for a lot of guys, I think in their late 20s, early 30s, where relationships kind of used to, you know, they kind of happen automatically in a lot of ways in high school and college, because people just have free time.
Yeah.
And you can go deep with, there's a certain type of bonding that happens just hanging out, doing nothing with people, nothing in the sense of, you know, kind of unstructured or unplanned. And that really changes as we get into jobs and get into work grooves and have partners and relationships and kids. And suddenly it's like, wow, it's easy to go weeks without, you know, creating that kind of depth of connection. And one of the many reasons I love it is as a new father and, you know, entrepreneur myself is it's also just super efficient to like, I meet with my, you know, I have many men's groups, but I have one local one I hear I meet with in LA and we meet twice a month on Monday nights. And I get to see 8 guys and go super deep in 2 hours in a way that it'd actually be really hard for me in my life right now to see all 8 of them that frequently. But we have like this structured container that really kind of juices us up and keeps us connected. So it's also just super efficient, you know, is what I love of like going deep with the same couple guys over time.
Yeah, it must be fun. You know, as you're saying this and there's energy behind it, I'm like,
it's so fun.
People just go off steam with the guys and know you have that place. And
totally, it's great.
Just talking about things in a way. So it's just this full circle thing of,
There's a big part of, you know, a lot of times around masculine and feminine, I'm going to speak in generalities because it's useful, but you know, everybody's actually different. But in men, the lineage of men, you know, there is a tradition of getting together and going away on the hunt, right? Or to war. There's like, we're going to pot up and we go away from family. We go away from our partners. We go away from the village. And in that going away, we connect with other men and we learn who we are. And then we bring that back to our families, to our communities. And men's group, even if it's just twice a month going somewhere, is like a little version of that, that we're so just wired for. And so many men I know are just craving. And oftentimes it's not till they've experienced that they're like, oh my, this is what's been missing. I didn't even know. But this just deep company of other men who are not judging me is such a game changer, and who are supporting me. And sometimes, you know, when necessary, challenging me, yeah. Like really like, hey, you said you wanted to do this thing in your life and it's been 8 months. And like, what's going on? Are you in or are you out? How can we help you figure this out? And then it's like, oh yeah, wow. Great. You know, there's been many times in my life that I've set goals and accountabilities. And the only reason I moved the ball forward on them was because I was like, oh, I got to walk into men's group in 2 days. And I told them I was going to do this. And it's a hack, right? It works though. It's like, I don't want to show up and let down, you know, my guys, my team. I said, I want to move this forward and I'm gonna, and then boom, that gets me through that. And I actually get it done.
Yeah. And you've already talked about the dynamic between a partner not being that person for everything. And that must be nice, because sometimes when you share goals with partners and the partner notices that you're not doing it, as the partner that realizes you're not doing it, you're like, do I say something? I don't want to cause friction. I'm his partner. Mm-hmm. Is that my place? So having accountability outside of the relationship, that in and itself must just, again, it's just all of these things that are bringing ease back into relationships and your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Creates a lot more space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot more space, a lot more flexibility, and a lot more clarity. You know, what I've found, one of the most powerful things men can do in men's group to bring back to their relationship is just get clear on what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it can be, if we're not clear, that can often be the source of a lot of stress in the relationship. Right. But when, if we can go away and get clear and come back to even like, hey, I'm not totally sure what I want to do about my job right now, but I'm committed to figuring it out in the next 2 months. And my men are helping me with that. Right. And then there's just like a, right. It suddenly just kind of comes out, and then there's like a big relaxing. I've seen it impact my wife and a lot of men, or a lot of women that are, you know, in relationships with men in groups, of just something about knowing that there's a space where we can kind of get clarity and sort that out is so, so powerful, and can also in the same way help kind of keep some of the zest in relationship, because then 90% of our relating isn't processing with each other. When we're just processing each other's feelings all the time, right? It's hard to like feel inspired to go out on a date or feel sexy or attracted to each other. But when we have a little bit more bandwidth there, because some of that's being nourished elsewhere, it lets us show up in relationship differently. You know, there's been examples where I've been stressed out or focused on something. And like a lot of men, you know, my response is to kind of quiet down and kind of pull it inside and, you know, remove myself a little bit. And if I don't tell her, my wife doesn't know why, like, or what's going on. So is he mad at me? What's going on? I don't know. Something's going on here. You know, and we had an example maybe 2 years ago, it comes to mind, of that was totally going on. And I kind of caught it, and we were just sitting down, and it was just, I had kind of processed in men's group a little bit, and it was just super clear. It was just like, oh yeah, it's just been really hard. I just don't feel like I'm winning in life right now. I feel like I'm just kind of losing everywhere. And that's just really frustrating me. And saying it in three sentences, her whole body relaxed. She was just like, oh, okay, that's it. That's fine. Okay, great. Right. It was just, but if I'm just walking around without sharing any of that, it actually adds to the tension in relationship. But when I was able to just get the clarity of, you know, whether that feeling was true or not, that was the feeling I was having, and shared it, and boom, more space, more ease, more connection. So yeah, I am just such a fan of men's groups, and it's really exciting time right now. Cause even when I first got into them in the mid 2000s, it was still like this random weird thing. People would be like, what's that? But it's really starting to, there's like a tidal wave that I see coming of a lot more male coaches, a lot more men's work, and just even starting to peep into the mainstream in some important ways that it's like, okay, I think this thing is coming. And my hope is we're kind of past the worst days of the lone wolf mentality, and really getting to a place where we can start weaving this in to men's culture and working with boys from a young age, that it's like, hey, no, you don't, you have a lot more choices in how you're allowed to be. It's okay to say share emotion. You don't have to hold that in. And the benefits to that just pay dividends for so long throughout life.
Yeah, that makes me happy for men and for boys, because we all have friends who we can just feel they don't know how to process. They don't feel safe. They don't feel safe in their body. Yeah. They don't feel comfortable talking about things. And so just to hear that there is this progressive nature in men's culture now too, because I think we do see it so much maybe because I'm in the space of where females are progressing emotionally.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that men are starting to ease into that. Now, we talked a little bit about partner dynamics as men are going through their emotions and doing things like that. So it makes me think about, how can women support their partners, their male friends, their husbands, et cetera, in becoming this most embodied version of their self? Because I'm sure there are kind of some overarching beliefs that women have about men that might be stopping them. So how can women support the men in doing these things?
Totally. I think encouraging a man to get into a men's group and find find other men that he can be with in this stuff. Like, I know it's a simple recommendation, but it can really, really help. Yeah. Sometimes guys don't know, but just in supporting him in doing that, of like, no, I actually want you to go spend a weekend with your men or go on retreat. Like that would actually help me feel closer to you, you know, on the other side of that, because I want to know you're getting that kind of support. I think is a really, really powerful thing for men to kind of feel that support from their partner in going out and doing that work. And in general, just, you know, letting men, encouraging them, you know, to process, to share, and know that sometimes it's going to be less words. They might not have as much clarity around the feelings, but to just, you know, let that be okay. You know, depending on your background, this can be a little bit more sensitive one, but I think for a lot of men, getting the signal that it's actually okay to be angry. Right? That anger itself isn't the problem. It's when your heart is closed and you've lost consciousness, or you're directing it outwards. That's what doesn't feel safe. Right? But like, hey, you know, if you're ever frustrated, you can just tell me, I'm frustrated right now. Do you mind if I just go take 5 minutes and go hit a pillow?
Yeah.
Right? And like actually encouraging that, like celebrating that, like, yeah, make some noise, hit that pillow, like get that energy through. I want to support you in that. And then vice versa, you know, he can start to support her in that too, or him, his partner in that. So just, I think really encouraging, man, I do find for a lot of guys, you know, we tend to lead with the analytical mind. Sometimes it's just stats help, you know, there's tons of stats, some of which I have on some of my trainings and stuff about like, yeah, loneliness, that, you know, they have research. It's just as deadly as smoking like 2 packs of cigarette a day, of being morbidly obese. Like, you do not live as long. You have heart attacks easier. You have more mental and physical ailments. You don't make as much money. Like, there's just so many reasons to get resourced as men and feel supported and nourished with other men and in relationship, that just even leading with that, that's like, hey, I know you want to make this big leap at work. And, you know, have you ever considered getting into a men's group? Because that'll actually support you in that, in ways you might be quite surprised about, getting these other pieces of you nourished. So yeah. And I think just having the open conversations, you know, about like, hey, what do you like to do to regulate or nourish yourself? Here's what I like to do. You know, here's what works for me. And then, you know, I think it's particularly amazing when both partners can be in some kind of group and they're supporting each other and going out into those other spaces and then kind of coming back and sharing the gifts and the fruit of that with each other. So yeah, so many ways women can support. And, you know, I think patience is a big one, actually. I know for me in my journey, this isn't true for all men, but for me in my journey, even being able to identify what am I feeling right now emotionally or in my body took, it was a journey, right? It was just a journey. So me not knowing doesn't mean I don't want to be connected to you right now, right? And so my partner had to practice some patience with that, of like, oh, okay, you are feeling something. It's okay if you don't have the words right now. You know, what does that feel like in your body, or things like that? Again, just help kind of bring that online.
Yeah, I love that. Just creating as safe a space as possible for anything that's coming up, and just open channels, open communication.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Jason, okay, where can our listeners find you and how can men work with you if they would like to?
Yeah, so you can find out more about me at evolutionary.men. That's kind of the home for all my men's work. And there's a bunch of writing I've done on there, some podcasts, all the different things I'm up to. How I primarily work with men is I do one-on-one work, but my favorite is group work because of the many, many reasons and the all kinds of power that's just involved in getting a group of men together. So I run drop-in men's groups about once or twice a month, which you can find on my site. I do some pre-COVID and hopefully coming back soon, I do some actual embodiment weekends where I get to go deep with a men's group, about 8 guys. And, you know, we do some deep practice and we go in to those kind of places in ourselves we're not so comfortable feeling. That can be a huge game changer for men. And then probably my favorite way to work with men overall is I run a coaching program with a female dating coach who is really amazing. And together we run a kind of 12-week intensive boot camp for men about just getting into our bodies, getting present, and learning how to lead in relationship, as we like to say. How do we actually bring some of this polarity practice, bring some of this masculine energy to ourselves and to our relationship? And that's just a super awesome group. So you can go to my site and under the dating and relationships tab, there's a free training and you can learn more about that there. So I love it. Whether it's with me or with anyone else, just Google men's group in your area, see what's possible, step into it. I think this is going to be an amazing year for it actually, because I think there's a lot of trauma in people's nervous systems after a year of quarantine and disconnection, and just getting into a room and making eye contact with people later this year, I think is going to be one of the most powerful things any man can do to just have a safe space to go and reconnect.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of your information will be in the show notes. So all of the links to those. Okay, Jason, so I have one more thing for you. Are you ready for a little rapid fire Q&A?
Love it. Totally.
Okay. All right. Number one, what is your favorite season?
I am actually a huge fan of fall in I live in Los Angeles, and there's something about the month of November here that is just, it's so heavenly. It's like not quite as hot. There's still beautiful sun. There's a little bit of crispness in the air. All the best movies come out. I'm a fall fan. There's just something about that starting to kind of cozy in feeling that I just love.
Love it. Okay. What is your favorite beverage besides water?
My favorite coffee, 100% coffee. I'm definitely a coffee guy. I love, which the coffee itself is one piece of it, but I would say there's just something about the ritual of it. You know, it's one of the steadfast rituals of my day of like, I do this and then I do this, I do this, and then there's a reward. It's just so satisfying. It's so satisfying every time.
Okay. Well, to break into that ritual a little bit, what is one non-negotiable part of your daily routine? So you could only have one, what would it be?
Yeah. It has become working out as a new father. And it's just so clear how much better I am, how much more in my body I am, how much more energy I have every day now when I work out and make time for that. So that was something I used to get kind of lax around before, but now I'm like, yeah, it's just whatever we got to do to make that a priority. It's okay. Important for me.
If you could have lunch with one person who has passed away, who would it be?
Right now, I would say Jim Henson, who created the Muppets. There was just this amazing artist and visionary, and had a, you know, I would say a love for life in the world that, you know, has that transmission of Sesame Street and the Muppets has just been so powerful. You know, I was raised on that stuff and just feeling how like, wow, that's a lot of how I learned how to be a good human. So I would love to just sit down and have a talk with him.
I love that. Okay. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book. Oh, there's so many, so many. I would say my favorite, this is kind of a beast, but the original kind of philosopher that got me into all of this work is this guy named Ken Wilber. And he has a book called Sex, Psychology, Spirituality that is like super heady, but it's just a tour de force of, oh, hey, all these different disciplines in the world of spirituality and growth and science, here's where the, each of them have it right. And here's where each of them are missing a piece and how they can support each other. And that probably more than anything else in my 20s just totally changed the trajectory of my life. So Sex, Ecology, Spirituality by Ken Wilber.
Cool. Okay. That sounds amazing. I've never heard of it. Okay. What is the last thing you ate?
I ate a fajita salad last night that my wife made me while I was leading a group coaching call. So afterwards I came out and ate that. And then I've only had some coffee this morning so far today. So I'm going to have some lunch after this.
Okay. What would get you out of bed at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning?
A hike would definitely get me out of bed. A good movie would get me out of bed. And my daughter, anytime.
Yeah.
Get up for her anytime. It's always a joy to wake up for her.
Okay. If you could get on a private jet right now, where would you go?
I think I would go... I'd go to New Zealand for sure. I've never been there. I've always wanted to go there. Something about the landscape has just been calling my name. Yeah.
Okay. We have two New Zealands. The last person I had on the show also said New Zealand. So
cool. Yeah.
Okay. Last one. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah. In 5 years, my vision is hopefully to have at least one other kid. So our family will have grown. And to be leading men's work at an even bigger scale in terms of really want to create a resource where men can find drop-in groups and have an easy way to kind of get onboarded into that world and help train men to lead men's groups. So that's really important for me. And I'm also a filmmaker, so I have some projects in the cooker to, you know, how is it we take a lot of this great work and push it out through the mainstream? So hopefully be happily promoting some film projects that I'll be writing this year that will turn even more men onto men's work and what's possible in the world.
Very cool. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on and shedding light onto all of these subjects. It's been so great to talk to you and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, my pleasure. This was so awesome. You had such great questions.
And there you have it, everyone, my episode with Jason Lang. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and your insight. Like I mentioned, everyone, Jason's information will be in the show. And I highly recommend sharing this episode with all the men in your life, whether it be a partner or a dad or a brother or just a friend, because there's no better way to spread the word of healing, of embodiment, and helping people on their journey than by giving them the tools to do so. So I cannot recommend that enough. And as for me, you know where to find me. I'm on Instagram at Casey_Edward, but I'll be sending a lot of focus to posting on the podcast page, which will be at icantwaittotellyou.podcast, I think. it'll be in the show notes, so you can check that out. And I will probably be updating you all in regards to the last episode. So I'll probably be releasing a solo episode this week next week. And I also have a few other episodes in the queue that I did before the break, which are fabulous. So that's all I've got for you. If you enjoy the show, please do leave a comment and a review on iTunes. It's so helpful for me and I'm so grateful. And also I just love reading your words. It makes my day. And I also love reading the usernames of some of the people because I feel like we all made our iTunes names like back in the day. So seeing some of them makes me LOL. But all you have to do for that is when you're listening in the Apple podcast, or if you're in, you know, iTunes listening, you just scroll down pretty far and then it'll be right there. And I can't thank you enough for that. And other than that, I will chat with you all soon. Okay, bye.